Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Marcopolo's S.A. APIMEC meeting to discuss the results of the second quarter 2020, as well as the prospects for the remainder of the year. This meeting is being webcast live by YouTube and Marcopolo's IR site. Before going on, I would like to let you know that any statements made during this meeting about Marcopolo's business outlooks, projections, operating and financial goals, about its potential growth, are assumptions based on the company's expectations with regards to the company's future. Forward-looking statements depend on the internal market conditions, the general economic performance, and on international markets, and therefore are subject to changes. Today with us are José Antonio Valiati, CFO and Investor Relations Officer, and Eduardo Willrich, Planning and Investor Relations Manager. We would like to inform you that the participation on Marcopolo's IR website is as in listen-only mode, and that you cannot participate in the Q&A. You can send your questions on YouTube. Please, Mr. Eduardo Willrich, you may go on. Okay. I'm sorry, we are not being able to capture the company's audio. Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you that are following on the internet and on the phone, I am a representative of APIMEC, and it is my pleasure to hold the meeting with Marcopolo S.A. to discuss the results of the second Q20. Today with us are Mr. José Antonio Valiati, CFO and Investor Relations Director, and Eduardo Willrich, IR and Planning Manager. We are going to start now with the company presentation, and if you have questions, please forward them on our chat so that we can answer them in the end of the presentation. Without any further ado, we are going to start Marcopolo's presentation with Mr. Valiati.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's our pleasure to welcome all of you who are attending this video conference to discuss our earnings for the second quarter 2020. Before starting our presentation, I'd like to inform you that our CEO should be with us together, but unfortunately, since yesterday, he was not feeling well. He's okay. He's at home. Because of the medical recommendation, he is supposed to stay home. That's why myself and Eduardo are going to make the presentation. I'm going to turn to Eduardo for the first part of the presentation about company results in the second quarter 2020.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to have you on YouTube and also connected on the phone to listen to our presentation. Well, we start the presentation with a brief profile of the company, then we go to the results of the second quarter, and then I'll turn the floor back to Valiati. Well, you know that Marcopolo is an international company, leader in bus body Brazilian market, and a strong presence in all segments. The company was founded in 1949. Our first exports dates back 1961. Our IPO was in 1978, and since 2002, we are in the second level of corporate governance. We have 14 industrial plants in 10 different countries, and today we have more than 15,000 employees. The characteristics that really set Marco Polo apart from the competition and makes it world non-recognized is the state-of-the-art technology it's used, and also the expertise of building bodies on any chassis model, including electric buses. Our engineering teams are quite experienced and divided by products. And our products are customized according to customer needs. Marco Polo, as I mentioned, is an international company. And it has a profile of a company that is located internationally. That is, we have a global footprint on the different continents. Our main headquarters is in Anahec in Caxias do Sul. We have other three plants, San Marino, the former Nelbus, Marco Polo Rio in Rio de Janeiro, and São Mateus in Espírito Santo. We also have a plant in Argentina, Metalsur, where we have 70% share. We have a joint venture that is called Super Polo in Colombia with a 50% share. We have Polo Mex, which is Marco Polo Mexico, with a 74% share. Then MAC, MASA, which is our subsidiary, 100% owned in South Africa, MAC in China, and Volvan in Australia. We are also the highest, the largest shareholder of a company called New Flyer with 10.57 share. And New Flyer is a market leader in both the U.S. and Canada. In the first quarter 2020, Brazil produced 7,844 bodies. For the external market, the domestic market, 6,184, and abroad, 1,660. The pandemic led to an expressive drop, especially the second quarter, and year-to-date, a drop of minus 29.2%. When we translate this drop to Marco Polo, we see a drop in production of 45%, a bit more than 45%. In Brazil, exports with minus 44.5, and other units 47.1 altogether. As we had mentioned in previous meetings, the highlight was Australia, because it was less affected, so to speak, during the pandemic. So we have a lower drop of about 14%. The other units show drops that are similar to the volumes that we see in Brazil. When we go into the different segments, we see that the road bus, the urban segment, I'm sorry, intercity buses with the highest drop, 68%, urban 35.8%, micro buses 45.6%, and Volaris 35.2%. That's in the domestic market. When we talk about the export market, or those that are produced by our external units, we had a drop of 68% in intercity, 4.9% in urban buses, 90 in microbuses, and 80 in Volaris. Now, looking at our sales results, just a second, because we do have a bit of a delay in our transmission. But the Brazilian market had a drop in sales of 36.6%. 1,799 units, with net revenues of 356 million BRLs. In exports, 524 units, a drop of 18%, and a growth of revenues of 3.9%, which translates a bit the BRL, the devaluation, our currency devaluation, that helped the company in the second quarter. In our controlled external units, 304 units sold with a 20% increase. But you see that altogether a minus 36%. When we look at our revenue per segment, we have an idea of the relevance of each segment in our quarter. So you see each one of our products and their share in the total. So you see Intercity with a 23.8% share in revenues, Urban Buses 46.3%, Microbuses 5.4%, Volare 13.6, Chassis 6.3, and 4.6 are others. The most representative of which in others is the Monio Bank and parts. So, in terms of results for the second quarter, we have results in the second quarter of 798 million. And then you see domestic revenues, exports, and abroad. Talking a bit about gross income, we closed the second quarter with 130.5 of gross income, gross margin of 16.3, which is quite equivalent to the margin that we had in the first quarter of 2020, EBITDA of 40.9 million, a drop of 61.3% compared to the second quarter 19, and an EBITDA margin of 5.1%. Again, the results were quite impacted, not only on revenues, but in the total of the year because of the COVID effect. Net profit was 1.3 million. And margin of 0.2% in the period. Now I'm going to turn to Valiati, that is going to talk a bit about our performance and prospects for the coming quarters. Thank you, Eduardo. Well, based on the numbers that Eduardo presented, we can see the impact that the pandemic has caused on our clients and consequently on our core activity and performance. Just to break down effects by segment, in the intercity bus segment, basically, if we isolate this block of products, we see that those buses that are directed to the tourist sector were the ones that were most affected by the pandemic. Since March, everything that is connected to tourism has come to a halt. What we have realized is that how purchases are showing a reaction. But in terms of tourist activity, that has been quite impacted, and our expectation that it will take some time for it to really pick up. As for urban, regular interstate lines, we had a drop of about 35 to 40%. So I'm sorry, we are operating at 35 to 40%. That is a drop of 60 to 65% of activity. Some states still are in lockdown, for example, the state of Santa Catarina. As states start to open up, then companies are going to go back to operation. In intercity buses, some products, especially those that are used to charter rides, had a very low activity, and the level of demand for this product related to this activity is similar to the pre-COVID. Remember that we have many more demands in terms of distancing from passenger to passenger. So there is more demand for buses, that is, more buses to transport the same amount of people. So we do see a consistent demand with regard to this segment. Likewise, in micro and Volare buses, also we see a demand that is recovering. I would say that we are at about 60 to 70% of what would be considered normal market conditions. But we do see some growth month after month for this service. And we believe that the market is going to get back to normal, perhaps faster than other segments. We are operating also at 60, 70% in terms of our fleet capacity. But again, the volume of passengers is below 50%. As cities start again to open lockdowns and stop restrictions, probably the urban segment is also going to go back to normal. One segment that is very important for our activity is the road to school program. As we have mentioned before, we still have the bids for the delivery of 4,000 units approximately in the segment. And fortunately, we continue to having orders placed. Right now, we already delivered 1,347 units of the total 4,800 units that were bid, and we expect to deliver in the year something closer to the 4,000 units. We had 620 in the first quarter, 724 in the second quarter, and we still have 2,650 units that we expect to deliver in the third and fourth quarters of the year. Another aspect that is positive are exports. Differently, or perhaps less impacted than the domestic market, orders to the foreign markets have shown a better behavior than that of the domestic market. What we expect is that we are able to deliver approximately 70% of our normal volumes that we operated pre-COVID. But even at this lower level, considering the exchange rate in terms of revenues in Brazilian reals, the amount should be very close to a period of normal operations. As for the performance of our controlled companies, the positive highlight, as Eduardo mentioned, is our Australian operation. that was only interrupted for 10 days in terms of interrupted production. And basically, if you consider that they did have a holiday there, the interruption was just 3 to 4 days. On the other hand, Marcopolo, Mexico, and South Africa were affected by the suspension of activities throughout the month of April and a reduction in production similar to what we had in Brazil. So as of May, they are operating at about 50% of their capacity. And our Argentinian company basically had its operations closed for the entire quarter, it started to resume activities as of July, and we expect to start recovering results in the third quarter. As for our affiliates, our Super Polo operation in Colombia had a very good result last year. It continues to perform well. It's likely below the previous year. But because of demand that we have in Bogota, it is going to continue to deliver consistent results for the whole of 2020. We did have an impact in our results, especially from the new flour operation that did have a negative result, about 39 million reals, related to non-recurring events. As for the post-COVID containment measures, since March, Marco Polo has spared no effort to have contingencies in costs and expenses, using all its tools to suspend contracts, decrease work hours, so that we can have some balance in this difficult period we are going through, especially as of mid-March until today. Also, as measures, the company has been keeping just the investments that were already contracted before the pandemic. Others were delayed or canceled, with exception of initiatives that are related to Marco Polo Biosafe and other projects that the company has already agreed to make, but quite judiciously. Another thing that the company has been doing is to reduce its working capital, establishing cash generation through the release of working capital and challenging internal goals. We know that the Road to School program is very beneficial for this period, especially when we're having low demand from the regular market, but it also consumes a considerable amount and poses some exposure to exports, and also has a longer financial cycle with BNDES and others in terms of our accounts receivables. So the company is really focusing on this aspect to try again to reduce our working capital. And we hope both in the third quarter, second half of the month, to recover a substantial amount by reducing our working capital. Also, we are keeping the payout of dividends suspended. We had approved in February to go back to the dividend payout. We paid the first installment. The second and third were canceled, and we're going to wait for the pandemic to develop better to try to establish what is going to be done with this regard until we have better visibility of results. In this period of difficulty, Marcopolo has placed much attention to seek good conditions and mechanisms to try and help our clients resume their operations with safety. In this aspect, we created Marcopolo BioSafe. This is a platform with several initiatives that were implemented to give people a safe return to transportation activity. On the screen, you can see some of these initiatives, chair sets with one by one and not double seats. You have two corridors with a larger distance between chairs. Also, protection for drivers and collectors. We have the fog-in-place technology just to sanitize environments. Ultraviolet light also to sanitize the toilets and air through the air conditioning unit. Individual curtains between passengers. Gel sanitizers and must-touch activation of the reading lights. Finally, we would like to tell you that what we saw effectively is that we went through a very hard period. We all know that this segment was quite impacted. The public transportation, collective transportations in general, quite affected. We can say that the way we see it, we've been through the worst already. Orders are coming back, not in the amount that we would desire, but they are improving. We hope as soon as things get back to normal, we can go back to giving you better, more satisfactory results. Now we are going to open for your questions.
Thank you, Valiati. We are testing this new platform. The idea now is to have a Q&A session on the YouTube chat box. I'm going to select some questions. I'm going to read them out loud. Those that are following us on the phone and are listening to the conference call in English can also listen to the questions. I'm going to pick some questions, and then myself and Valiati are going to answer them. The first question that comes is if so far we have any preview in terms of revenues. Basically, what is our revenue forecast for the remainder of the year?
Well, we had some initiatives in progress. Since June, we are already receiving orders. There are lots of things ongoing. All the initiatives that Valiati mentioned are already going on. We are already working with the parts. We are already using the sanitization, not only in buses, but also in establishments, and adapting our
used buses to new conditions that are demanded. So these are initiatives that are already generating revenues. Of course, we are just beginning the process, and we believe that this will depend a lot on how long the pandemic will last. And some initiatives we believe that will stay. They are going to be our new normal. But the answer is that we already have lots of initiatives in place. Someone asking if the presentation is going to be available, and the answer is yes, both on YouTube and on the company's website. Guilherme is asking a question about charter buses in the intercity buses segment. This is a very complicated question because when we think of share, it does fluctuate a lot depending on the economic cycle that you're talking about. This segment already accounted for 50% of the share of intercity buses, but not anymore because, tourism is a segment that is practically at a halt. So it wasn't as representative as in the past, but this year, as Valiati mentioned, it did gain some relevance because of a complete slowdown in other activities. There is one question André is asking. What are you going to do to be able to suit or reduce your structure or downsize your structure as of now? Well, André, thanks for your question. At first, well, of course, the company is permanently adapting to market conditions. In the presentation, you saw that we are using all the tools that we have available to suspend and reduce contracts. But effectively, as we also mentioned, we are paying close attention to any risks, and we are going to make any changes that might be necessary in due time. I have a question here from Fernando about the month of July in urban buses. We still cannot say, we cannot break down the information yet. But as it was mentioned before, we see some improvement as of mid-July. Yeah. As I mentioned in the end of my presentation, we believe that we've been through the worst. Of course, we are still going to have some pressures, but we already see that the fourth quarter is going to show some improvement, especially in terms of orders, export orders, especially to Africa. Another question here is about bus production in Brazil, historical levels, and when we expect to go back to the levels of 2010, 2011. Well, the chart that Eduardo showed in the beginning of the presentation is quite illustrative because it does show the level of production that we had in the best periods of the company, 2010, 11, 12. Then we had a steep drop in 16, 17. And what we see today is that 2020 should also
be a period with low demand. In fact, it's already been a period of low demand. We suppose that the Brazilian market is not going back to the levels of 2010 in the short term, but it's perhaps between 21 to 23,000 units is going to be the new normal in Brazil. Gabriel is asking if you expect to have lower sales in 2021. Well, from what we see is that there is going to be a new bid for the Road to School program. And it seems that the bid is going to be basically the same volume that was bid in the end of 2019 and whose deliveries are taking place in 2020. Another question from Gabriel about the margin that you have is similar to a normal bus. Yes, it is. It's a margin similar to just a regular Marco Polo bus. A question from Rafael, if Marco Polo can benefit from increased exports in case of the devaluation of our currency. Well, this is something that is helping our results this year, currency devaluation. The more devalued to the currency, the best to exporters. And Marco Polo, as a large exporter, certainly benefits from a devalued currency. Lucas is asking about the results of New Flyer. Well, we are considering those results as non-recurrent, 100%. All the impact was because of two pending issues in the intercity bus operation, and they had to be readjusted to present value. So what we see in terms of New Flyer on Marco Polo's results are non-recurrent. There's a question from Luis. If we could talk a bit about the loss of market share in intercity buses. I think intercity buses, I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at our release, but we did have a drop in market share. And this drop can be explained because Marco Polo had a collective vacation in April. And when we came back from the collective vacation, we had approximately 50% of our labor working in our plant. And this reduction of production was not followed by all the competition. One competitor continued to working as if there were no drop in demand. And because they decided to continue producing normally, Marco Polo, because we had a reduction of 50% in production, we did see a drop in market share. But we expect to go back to historical levels or even above as these choices are going to show in the future. If you haven't reduced production today, you have to reduce it tomorrow because we know that there is a market impact in terms of reduction in the number of orders. If you don't know, Marco Polo, remember that buses are made on demand. So there is about 60 days between the placing of orders and the delivery of products. And if you are overproducing now, it will take time for you to sell. And just to add to what you said, Eduardo, we believe that this was very, it was the right decision. We were able to leverage the orders that were placed before the pandemic, and then we reduce work hours, and with that, we have a balance of our plant labor. And while we wait for the results of the pandemic to start to win, we know that this competitor has not stopped, but if you think of the point of order, basically what they did is that they delivered everything that they had in their backlog, and we, in a way, phased this out because of the restrictions that we had from public authorities and because of the market pace. In the city of Caxias do Sul, our plant is operating at 50% only. Jerônimo was asking about the Road to School program, if we expect a bid as big as 2019 for 2020. You already answered that. Vinícius also thinks about the resumption of our activity for the second half. And basically, remember that we are working at basically 50% of our labor and the reduction of workforce. And this is going to be kept until the end of the year. Well, we are working with the tools as needed. Today in Caxias do Sul, we have this flexibility of working with a bit more than 50%. But we are managing that according to demand and according to our best estimates. So our backlog shows that we are probably going to work with a volume above the 50% in the coming months, but not at full capacity. And in this period, we are going to be gauging our backlog and doing whatever we can to balance our numbers, ensuring company performance. We have a question here about default. Customer default rates. If we see customers in delinquency, and also if we are getting paid for the Road to School program. I'm going to start with the last question. The Road to School program has a cycle of payment. In the beginning, it was a bit different than it is today. We should have received in March, in April, in amidst the pandemic, things were a bit more complicated. But today, we have already received substantial amounts regarding the products delivered, and we expect the months of August to September to be a month where we are going to receive substantial sums from the Caminhos, the Road to School program, going slightly back to normal. With regard to delinquency, we have some operations in fact, what we are having are payments that are having a slightly longer cycles, basically because they are connected to projects and naturally will take a bit more time. And despite the situation that we had, the pandemic and the difficulty that our customers are going through, we are having very good tools. We have possibilities to extend contract maturities, basically that are being made available by BNDES. And with that, we had many customers that made use of this possibility to try to keep their cash flows. And this extension took place in March and April for 6 months. Not all clients asked for the extension, but those who did, most of them were payment in time, and we are monitoring that from close, but we believe that we are not going to have major problems in terms of delinquency. We might have something, but, and of course we are paying attention to that, but we are being quite positive because it seems it's not going to be a problem. And if, in fact, because we learned from previous crises, we limit our exposure to risk to a certain level. And therefore, we are somehow protected against problems with delinquency because we are quite well distributed in terms of risk exposure. And basically, for the third and fourth quarters, we don't expect to be too open to delinquencies. First, the question we have about chassis, if we work with them all, and we do. Yes, all bus chain, and very clear that the numbers are public, and Marco Paolo releases the numbers every quarter. As for biosafe demand post-pandemic, if we consider this project as a one-off initiative, or if we believe this is going to stay? Well, we think that habits are going to change in terms of users of public transportation. People are going to be more concerned with sanitization and others. There are things that are connected to the biosafe initiative that translates into comfort. Curtains in between seats, automatic lights. So these are things that are not necessarily connected to sanitization. So it seems that these initiatives are here to stay in the new normal, regardless of the pandemic. We have a question here about increased costs because of the currency devaluation. If we are feeling increases of costs, well, our procurement area is managing that. So there are some increases from suppliers. We might have some impact. So far, we have been able to negotiate them quite well. But remember that any impacts are going to be passed on to prices. But we don't expect them to be relevant. As for the North American market, there is a question of how you see the dynamics in the U.S. Well, it's slightly different than the Brazilian market, because most of their sales are government sales. So it's a different dynamic, and therefore it is a more resilient market. They have, it would be the equivalent to the roads to school program, which somehow supports our revenues, not only for this year, but also for next year. And also, you have a much higher predictability, even more than one and a half years to the future. So somehow you don't feel as much the drop in volume. Finally, you have Andre's question, talking about the positive effect of the Marco Polo S.A. and also the Serol that is still in progress. And we are still to release amounts with regard to that. These were the questions that we had. If I forgot something, please contact us. And we are open to any of your questions. And now we are closing our meeting and we are going to get the floor back to APNEC. Well, Valiat, Eduardo, we would like to thank you very much for the partnership. It was a pleasure to hear you today. We thank those that followed the meeting, both on YouTube and on the phone. And we are now closing this meeting. On behalf of APNEC, we thank you all for attending, and we congratulate Marco Polo on your results. Valiat, if you have any final remarks to make, well, thank you very much. I also would like to thank you for attending our video conference and to tell you that Marco Polo is always with its doors open and ready to have any of your questions or provide any clarifications that might be necessary. The period that we are going through is quite challenging, but as I mentioned, we believe that we've been through the worst. Of course, we have to be cautious. We still have to watch out. The pandemic is not over yet. Public transportation is a segment that was highly affected, but with hard work, dedication, seriousness, and engagement, both the company and its employees, together with the trust of investors, we are going to go through that. And better days will come. Thank you very much. I wish you all the best. And thank you, Lucy, for the opportunity and for the attention that APNEC always gives us. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And we wish you all the best, Valiati. Good afternoon. APNEC's meeting on Marco Polo S.A. results is now closed. We thank you very much for your attendance and wish you a good afternoon.